Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening. We are back. That is the MSS crew, and we are thanking you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. This is your MSS host, Luis Jr., and assisting once again with bringing to you another exciting, exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, why don't we get things rolling here tonight by allowing me to introduce the presenter for our program. Just so happens to be straight out of the Badlands of Canada, the second of our Canadian crew. Mad Max Crawford is up tonight. Hopefully he doesn't try to steal your gasoline. If everyone could just please sit back, relax, and enjoy the program. Mad Max, the microphone is yours.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maxwell, here to welcome you to Michael's Saturday Surprise for Saturday, May the 28th, 2016. I had a bit of a problem attempting to figure out what shows to play for this wonderful broadcast, Radio Theater Project, and it was written by Philip K. Dick, and it was entitled Beyond the Door, Dark Tales. Enjoy the show.
Dark tales, stories of the odd and unusual, taking place in other worlds and other places, where life can have strange twists. This time, presenting Beyond the Door from a story by Philip K. Dick, adapted for radio by Barry M. Putt, Jr. A gift found and a gift given can have consequences far beyond those expected, especially when living in the world of dark tales.
Hey, I'm home.
Hi, Larry. I'm in the kitchen.
What's for grub?
Lamb stew.
Again?
It's what they had on special at the butcher's. If you'd let me go out and work...
We've been over this.
Let's go over it again while we eat.
Can't. Boss wants me to be there early.
I never get to see you anymore. If you're not working at the mill, you're scarfing down food and dashing out the door to your second job.
We need the money.
It would be easier if I pitched in.
How? You got fired from the last five jobs you had.
Only because you kept coming down there and arguing with me. Gotta keep it down in restaurants. Customers don't like all that noise. That's what the managers told me. And that's what got me fired.
All your squawking has kept me from eating. Now I'm going to be late for work. I'll see you tonight.
In your dreams.
What?
You're coming in at 11:30 like usual, right?
So?
I'll be asleep by then, so you'll see me in your dreams.
Keep me talking like this and I won't have a job to go to no more.
At least then we'd have some time together.
Yeah, but we'll be in the poorhouse.
We wouldn't be much poorer than we are now. Look at this kitchen. An ancient stove, a leaky refrigerator. We don't even have a dishwasher.
You got two hands, don't you?
You know what I mean. Come on, have some stew.
I'll heat it up when I get home.
Some appreciation.
I gotta go. I'm home.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? Come on, wake up. You have all day to sleep. Why did you put the stew away? I said I'd have some when I got home. Fine, keep sleeping. Lot you care. Right, lot you care.
Oh. Is that you, Larry?
Yeah, what's for grub?
What's it look like?
Another butcher special.
It is, unless you hit the jackpot.
When are you going to be doing something nice for me?
I keep house, don't I? I exercise to stay trim. I make dinner. All that's for you. The question is, when are you going to do something for me? It would be nice to go out on the town once in a while instead of being cooped up in this place all the time. Hey, what's in the box?
It's for you.
Really?
That's what I said.
You didn't get me a new mop head, did you? That was some way to celebrate my 30th birthday.
I ain't saying nothing.
Can I open it?
Sure, go on.
Would you look at that?
Yeah, so?
A cuckoo clock. A genuine cuckoo clock. just like my ma used to have.
Well, what do you think?
It must have cost a fortune. Is this why you took that second job to get this for me?
Nah, the second job buys my smokes, my beer, and my lottery tickets.
And it takes you away from me going on 2 years now.
Yeah, it just gets us by just fine.
Is that so?
Yeah.
How could you afford this?
I found it in someone's trash on the way home from work.
And here I thought you might actually care enough to buy me something.
I care. I pay the bills, don't I?
But we never go out anymore. We used to have so much fun.
Yeah, you don't have to spend money to have fun.
Who said anything about spending money? We could take a walk in the park.
That's for kids and old ladies. Do you want the clock or not?
I want it, but...
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just leave me alone. I've got to make the bed.
Get out here. I only have a few minutes before I got to go to work. Come on. Get out here. Do I have to eat alone? All right, I will. Ugh, calf's liver. Least you could do is make some pasta once in a while.
Hey there, Doris. I see the mail's in.
Yeah, it just came. Nice car, Bob. How do you afford it?
It's used, that's how. And I'm on a payment plan.
You always find a way to do things, don't you?
I try. Is everything okay? You don't quite seem yourself today, Doris.
I'm sure you've got a lot to do.
I don't mind. We're neighbors, aren't we?
Yeah. Do you have time to come in and chat?
Sure.
I'm glad the water's still hot on the stove. Here's your tea.
Oh, thanks. Now, tell me, what's going on?
It's this.
Beautiful clock.
Larry gave it to me.
That's thoughtful. It's not working, though.
I haven't wound it yet. It took me all morning just to untangle these weighted chains that hang down from underneath.
They look okay now.
Yes. My ma had a cuckoo clock a bit like this one when I was a little girl. From what I remember, you pull the chains down to wind it. That should do it.
It's a nice piece. Looks like it's handcrafted.
I think so. Look at the carved arches and leaves here. And the French horn here.
Yeah, what's not to like about it?
It is beautiful.
I'll set the time for you. There we go. Where do you want to hang it?
I'm not sure yet. It's fine propped here on the edge of the counter for now.
Okay. He must really love you to get you something like this.
Like a piece of garbage.
What?
That's how much he loves me.
Doris, what are you talking about?
He dug it out of someone's garbage on the way home the other night.
He thought enough to pick it up for you, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Thanks for garbage day.
Well, you know what I mean.
He used to really care. I don't understand what's happened to him. Hey, I think it's almost time.
3 o'clock.
Did you see that little bird? He was so cute.
He sure was. Has beautiful yellow feathers.
I love his orange beak and the way his eyes seemed to twinkle when he looked at us. I can't wait to see him again. Come out, pretty bird. Come out.
I don't think we'll see him for another hour.
Oh, darn.
That'll give you something to look forward to.
It sure will.
I wonder what the history of this clock is.
I don't know. You go to the library a lot. Do you think you could do some research?
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Great. Will you come over again soon and watch him chirp the hour?
Sure.
Good, I'll be looking forward to it.
Me too. I gotta get home now, though.
All right. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
There you go, my little cuckoo. You're hung right over the kitchen table where I can see you. Oh, no, the goulash. It's about to boil over. Glad I got it in time. I hope I didn't wake you up with all that hammering, cutie. You'll like it up there. It's a great view. That's about the only thing that's great in this place. Except for you now, of course. Hello?
Hi, hon. I'm running late. Won't be home for grub tonight.
Again?
You got roof over your head, don't you? You got heat.
Yeah.
It's my money that pays for that, so stop groaning.
I make the food around here, and it's your not coming home to eat it that wastes our money.
I don't got time to argue.
Me neither. I'll just give it to the neighbors.
Don't give it to no one. I bought it, and I'm going to eat it when I get home. And whatever's left over, you can throw out.
Is that so?
Yes. I'll see you later.
Yeah, sure. Goodbye. Selfish. Hey there, little cuckoo. Do you see what kind of treatment I get around here? Talking to me like I'm some kind of stinking maid. Sorry there, cutie. I didn't mean to yell at you. You sure are curious looking around up there. You like the view, don't you? Go on, do your stuff. Beautiful. Hey, did you just wink at me before you went back in? Did you? Well, I like you too, my little cuckoo. Do you hear me in there? I'm not trying to scare you. Just wanted to let you know that I think you're the most beautiful little bird there is. I do, and I hope you're happy here. Hey, Bob. I'm glad you came over to hear the bird chirp again.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too.
Is everything all right?
Well, not really.
What is it?
They laid me off down at the plant.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It just started with those car payments.
Life isn't easy.
I've been job hunting all day.
That's good. Something will turn up. I'm sure of it.
I hope so.
Would you like some goulash?
All right. Maybe a little.
Please take off your hat and coat and sit down. Here you go.
Thanks, Doris.
Hey, it's almost time. Did you hear how happy he was? His singing was beautiful.
Sure was. I went to the library today, but I couldn't find any clocks that had a yellow bird like yours does. I think it's pretty rare.
Really? That's great. If you find out any more, let me know.
Sure. Hey, this goulash is really good.
Thanks.
What's in it?
The butcher had a once-in-a-lifetime special on turkey breast today.
Really?
It's Larry's favorite, but he won't be home till late. I'm glad I found someone who could enjoy it while it's good and hot.
Well, thanks.
Would you like some more?
No, thanks. I need to get back to my job hunt.
Of course. I hope it goes well. Please drop by again soon.
I will. Good night.
Doris, wake up.
Huh?
Any grub left?
Grub? Oh, yeah, I gave it away.
I told you I didn't want you wasting it on strangers.
Don't blow a gasket. There's more in the fridge. Well,
heat it up.
You can heat it up yourself if you want some. The stove's that way.
Some gratitude.
Wait, it's almost time.
For what?
For my little friend to come out.
No, it ain't.
I can see the clock in the kitchen right from here. It says 10:59.
Nah, it's 11:36.
I don't understand. I better go check.
Well, if you're getting up, fix me some grub.
Hey, the clock stopped.
Well, you have to wind it, you know.
I did, but I thought it was self-perpetuating.
Don't be ridiculous.
Let's get it going again.
Well, why don't you get my food going again?
All right, but wind the clock.
Yeah. Make sure it's good and hot.
Are you going to wind it?
Yes.
Do you need to pull the chains that tight?
I sure do, because I don't want to do this every day.
Hey, that's enough.
I'll tell you when it's enough. There.
It's not working. Don't hit it.
I got it started, didn't I? Hey, whose hat is this on the table?
Oh, the neighbor's.
What neighbor?
Bob, from down the street.
Was it him that you were feeding?
Yeah, he's very nice. We chat once in a while when we see each other around the neighborhood. He likes antiques.
Well, I don't want you seeing him anymore.
I'm not seeing him. He stopped over for a few minutes to tell me that he lost his job. I was trying to cheer him up.
I don't want him here again. You got that?
I hear ya. Anytime you want to take me to a movie, I'm available, you know.
Movies are a waste of time and they're expensive. We can stay home if you want to watch TV.
We only get one channel and nothing is ever on it.
Then why do you want to watch TV?
I want us to do something together.
We're doing something right now, but you bicker so much that it takes up all our time.
I bicker?
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to argue. I just...
Good. If you stop giving my stuff away and seeing strangers, we'd be fine. What kind of man likes antiques anyway? That's for women.
I got news for you, Larry. Men like antiques, too. They like them just as much as women do. You'd know that if we ever went out together.
Shut your face and get my grub.
There you go. Try not to scarf it down so fast that you choke.
Well, it's too hot.
That's what you wanted, wasn't it? Nice and hot.
Yeah, but I don't want to have my tongue burn off in the process.
The clock doesn't sound right. I think you wound it too tight.
So what? You've made my dinner, now go to bed.
I hope it's all right.
Get to sleep.
All right, all right. But that clock better be working in the morning or else. Good night.
Hi, Doris. Thanks for inviting me over. I'm glad you found my hat.
Larry was the one who found it. He didn't like it very much either.
I'll have to come over and introduce myself sometime. We've only seen each other in passing.
Okay. I tell you, Bob, that clock hasn't been right since he messed with it the other night. He was so rough.
It does sound kind of strange.
I hope my little friend in there is okay. It's almost time.
Hey, there he is.
I think he's frightened. See how he's looking around? It's all right, cutie. You're safe. No one will hurt you.
He sure has spirit.
Yeah, I'm glad he's all right. Hey, what's going on?
What do you mean?
The clock just stopped. I knew something was wrong.
The weights are getting a little low. Maybe it just needs to be wound. There we go.
That's better. It ran for several days in a row before Larry touched it. He's going to hear it from me when he gets home.
I'm home!
Hi! How long are you around this time?
I got plenty of time before my next job. What's for grub?
Pork burgers.
What's that?
Leftover scraps of pig meat that the butcher grinds into patties.
I guess that'll have to do.
It will unless you start bringing in a bigger paycheck.
Don't get on my case about that again.
How about the clock?
Yeah, it looks good up there.
It stopped working again.
Well, did you wind it?
Of course. I even had Bob from down the street do it.
I told you, I don't want no one coming around here.
He just stopped by to pick up his hat. The clock stopped working a few hours after he left.
Yeah, he probably didn't wind it tight enough.
I tried to do it myself, but I couldn't get it to start again. I think you broke it.
I didn't break it. See, it winds fine.
I don't hear any ticking.
Then you keep winding.
Why are you grabbing it with your thumb over the door?
Because I want a firm grip on it.
You're going to jam the door and trap him inside.
You talk like that bird is real.
He's the only thing around here that's consistent. That's for sure.
You're ridiculous.
You're afraid of him, aren't you? That's why you're blocking the door.
I ain't afraid of nothing. There, it's running again just fine. Remember to wind it up every so often, so don't stop working again.
Okay.
Ow!
What is it?
I cut my thumb on the edge of the door. It's bleeding.
Put it under some water.
All right.
I told you you shouldn't block it.
Yeah, I gotta change. Get my dinner ready.
You'd better treat that clock nice.
Just get my dinner on the table, okay?
Yeah. There you are, my pretty. Singing well, my pretty. You sure are a pretty bird. Oh, yeah, there you are, my... What's that? Oh, no. I'm in the shower. All right, I'm coming. I've got to put on a robe. Hi, Bob. What is it?
Hey, is your husband home?
He's at work.
Even on Saturdays?
He's there most of the time. Weekends, holidays, it doesn't matter.
All right. I guess I won't be able to meet him then.
You'll have to come back another time if you want to do that.
Okay. We'll see.
What do you mean by that?
I found a new job.
You did?
Yeah, with much better pay.
That's wonderful. Where at?
It's a few hours away.
Well, how are you going to manage that?
I'm moving.
Oh, I'll be sorry to see you go.
Thanks, Doris.
Do you have a few minutes to talk?
Sure.
Well, come in. How about some tea?
Sounds good. Thanks.
Have a seat.
I'm going to miss this old neighborhood.
Won't be the same without you.
Yeah, we can still call each other from time to time.
Good. I'd hate to lose touch.
Yeah, me too.
Say, were you able to do any more research on the clock?
A little, but I haven't found anything specific about the model you have. It must be one of a kind. How's our little friend doing, anyway?
He's all right now.
What do you mean, now?
He and Larry don't like each other. When Larry's home, he won't even come out and chirp the time.
Really?
Yeah. It sent Larry into a rage the other night.
That isn't good. You know, I think there's more to that clock than any of us really know.
Larry doesn't care about that. The little bird only comes out when I'm here alone, now. It's so sad. Would you like some sugar in your tea?
Sure, sounds great.
Here you go.
Hey, your sugar bowl's empty.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. Plain will be fine.
No, I have some more in the cupboard above the fridge. Could you steady me on the chair as I climb up and get it?
Sure.
It's higher than I thought.
Okay, be careful. I've got your hand.
Aha! I knew something was going on.
Larry, what are you doing home?
They have too many on the shift today. Look at you going around behind my back.
You got it wrong. Bob came over to say goodbye. He's just helping me.
With the way you're dressed, I'm sure he was helping you. All right. I slave on the job all day, and this is what I get?
I have always been faithful to you.
Bull. You've never been satisfied with what I give you.
I try to be, but it isn't easy.
I've given you more than most people have in this neighborhood.
You'll never have time for me anymore.
No, don't lay this on me.
I'm not laying anything on anyone. I've always been here for you.
Shut up. I want you and this pathetic lover of yours out of here.
Larry, I told you, you've got this all wrong.
Get out. Just get out.
I'm not even dressed, and I don't have anywhere else to go.
Yeah, you can move in with him, and I'll surely both be happy about that.
You're being unreasonable.
Get out and take that stupid clock with you. You're both more of a headache than you're worth.
This isn't what it looks like, Larry.
Shut your trap, you chump, unless you want a broken nose to go along with that cheating lifestyle of yours. Shut that piece of crap up.
All right. It's okay, cutie. Just go back in your house. Everything will be okay.
Take that thing with you.
Don't worry, I will. That little cuckoo has been better company than you ever were. He's always been there for me.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the one that found it for you. You know, on second thought, I'm keeping it.
But you hate it. You gave it to me.
Now I'm taking it back. Give it here.
No, it's mine.
It's mine and I'm keeping it.
Hey, give it back.
Shut your cake hole and get out of here, you two-timing tramp.
Can't you even...
I said get.
All right, I'm going.
Stupid woman in her stupid life. Good riddance. Yeah? What do you want? Speak up. I can't hear you. Yeah, you, Doris. You think you can weasel your way back? What? Who is this? No, I don't want to buy a new washer and dryer. Screw off. More whiskey. I need more whiskey. Oh, yeah, it's almost 11, cuckoo. You better not mess with any tonight. You hear? All right, now in 5, 4, 3, 2. Hey, you're slacking off again. Come over here. Come out here. It ain't fair, I tell you, all these weeks since she left and you haven't come out once. I'll bet her and that cheater laughing at me right now. You're stabby tucked away in that crap house of yours, stupid bird. Nobody thinks of me. I'm out there working every day providing for everyone and nobody ever thinks of me. What's going on with that, huh? Get out here now and chirp the time. Oh, I ain't playing. So that's how it's going to be, is it? Well, I've had it with you. You know what I got in my hand? A hammer. That's right, bird. I'm climbing up here near your door. Right in your face. Doris, that scumbag Bob and you, you're all alike. You all turned on me. I don't deserve it. I tell you, I ain't taking it no more. If you don't get out here and do your thing right now, I'm going to smash your house apart with this hammer. Then I'm going to find Doris and Bob and do the same to their heads. I'll make you all pay for what you done to me. You hear me, you stupid bird, you hear me? Are you coming out here, or do I have to come in after you? I hear you in there humming. You owe me big time. Get out here. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, stop pecking at me. Guys, stop. Oh!
Doris McNeil. Yes?
This way, please.
Doc, can my friend...
Yes, he can come.
Good. Bob, I'm so glad you came with me. I hate morgues.
Don't worry, Doris. It'll be all right.
Can you identify the body?
It's him. It's my husband, Larry.
Are you sure?
Positive.
All right.
Doc?
Yes?
Is it really possible to break your neck falling off such a low chair?
It's not typical, but it can happen.
I see.
I wonder if it might not have been an accident. Is there any chance, Doctor, that it could have been...
suicide. Is that what you're thinking?
Well...
We've been separated over 3 months, and I heard he was drinking and getting depressed, and I called several times, but he never picked up and...
I've never heard of anyone committing suicide in this manner. It was an accident. I'm positive.
All right. Thank you. I don't think I'll ever truly understand how it happened, though.
Maybe we're not meant to.
Maybe.
I'll have to get a paper from my office for you to sign. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay. Bob, this is awful. I'm just glad his life insurance policy will be enough to pay off the house.
Yeah, me too.
Now you can have that condo of yours back to yourself again.
I don't mind sharing it. The company's been nice.
Thanks. I don't know what I would have done without you lately.
Maybe we can keep it up.
I like that.
You could always sell the house.
Yeah, and I can keep my job there. I love working again.
Then you should.
All I want out of that house is the clock and that little bird.
We'll get them as soon as we leave here.
All right. He was so angry. Jumped to so many conclusions.
I'm sorry you had to deal with that, Doris, but it did bring us together in the end.
It sure did. I'm glad about that.
I've been to tell you, I found out more about the clock. It's one of a kind, made over 100 years ago in rural Germany. Very rare and very valuable.
That's good to know. I just love that little cuckoo.
Mrs. McNeil, please sign here and initial here and here to confirm that you made the identification. Perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Is that all, Doc?
Yes.
Thanks. Bob, let's get going.
All right, let's go.
Ma'am, rest assured that it wasn't suicide.
I appreciate that, Doc.
Maybe it was the bird.
What did you say?
Oh, nothing.
I'm lucky to have you in that clock.
So am I.
Come on, let's go.
Sure, Doris. Let's go.
Dark tales, stories of the odd and unusual, taking place in other worlds and other places where life can have strange twists. This time, it was Beyond the Door, from a story by Philip K. Dick, adapted for radio by Barry M. Putt, Jr. In the cast were Joseph McGuire as Larry McNeil, Christine Yautsey as Doris McNeil, Dave Johnson as Bob Lewis, Dave Van Meer as Dr. Bailey. I'm your announcer, Ann Bodel Nash. Dialogue editing and sound design, Jay Charles. Production assistant, Irma Bode. Directed by Bobby Wiley. Recording engineer, Juan Aragin. Recording technician, Carla Ayala. Produced by Joseph C. McGuire. Recorded at KSVR Studios in Mount Vernon, Washington. This is a Radio Theater Project presentation.
Well, folks, that was Beyond the Door by Philip K. Dick and performed on a show called Dark Tales. So here is a beautiful story from Theater 5. It's entitled Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, and it was aired on April the 7th, 1965.
Theater 5 presents Miss Martha Scott in Mirror, Mirror on the Wall.
Golly, Mother, don't tell me this ugly infant is me.
Of course it is, Carol.
Oh.
Your father took this snapshot the day we brought you home from the hospital.
Well, I'm going to burn it. No girl of 16 would want anybody to know she ever looked as ugly and naked as this.
Well, now, what are you two girls up to this evening? Hatching a plot against the old man?
Hi, Dad. Mother's showing me ye old family album.
Oh.
I've no idea she kept this among her treasures.
Well, I'd forgotten that myself. All right, move over. Let me look with you.
Oh, sit here beside me, Arthur.
Okay. Well, what year are we up to?
1948. This is the Grand Canyon trip on our second anniversary. Look, Carol. Here's your father riding a mule.
Really? Gosh, you look so young.
Well, I was young and handsome, too, wasn't I, Emily?
Yes, you look like Ronald Coleman. I was terribly jealous of you.
Listen, Mother, it's your birthday. He should be flattering you. What birthday is it, by the way, or is that a secret?
No, it's my 39th. But the less said about that, the better.
Nonsense, Emily. You're still my child bride.
Well, come on, turn the page. I'm dying to see what's next.
Carol... you hold the album. Hmm? You and your father can look at the rest of it together.
But, Mother...
Emily, where are you going?
Upstairs, dear. I think I'll take a hot bath and read a while. But you stay here with Carol. I'm quite sure I'll be able to manage that one flight without assistance. Are you asleep?
Mm-hmm. Time to get up?
No, no, it's still dark. But do you hear that sound?
Hmm? What sound?
Steady ticking. Don't you hear it?
No. Maybe you're half awake and still dreaming. Oh, just remembered, Emily. This is your 40th birthday. Happy day, sweetheart.
Wait, wait. Don't go back to sleep. Someone's come to speak to me. Someone mystical and strange. Who are you?
A visitor, Emily, but hardly a stranger. I'm not really unknown to you.
Are you sure? I've never heard your voice before.
True, but you've been aware of my existence.
I don't understand.
Your awareness began a year ago. Remember the photograph album and your daughter's thoughtless remarks?
Yes, of course.
When you went to your room that night, you sat down and studied yourself in the mirror, and you found no evidence that I had been attentive to you as yet. You do remember that, don't you?
Yes, I was relieved. But why are you so attentive to me now? It's much too soon. I'm still young.
But this is your 40th birthday, Emily. No further postponement is possible. From this year forward, you'll be receiving my offerings in a continuous flow.
But I don't want them, so please go away. You're not welcome.
Oh, I never am. Nevertheless, my gifts will be arriving constantly, always gifts of physical change. My first one is trivial, hardly noticeable at all.
Oh, what is it?
You'll see.
When?
In the morning, when you brush your hair. Au revoir, Emily. Au revoir.
Good morning, Mother.
Happy birthday. Oh, thank you, dear. Sit right down. Your breakfast will be ready in a moment.
Hey, you sound kind of mournful. Anything wrong?
Your mother didn't sleep very well, Carol. I think she had a bad dream. Woke me up to tell me about it. Remember, dear?
Yes, Arthur, I remember.
Is that all that's bothering you, a bad dream?
Oh, no, dear, not exactly. It's something more realistic than that, I'm afraid.
What is it?
Why, I don't think I ought to tell you. You'll think I'm vain.
I will not. Come on, Mother.
Well, I never noticed it until this morning, but I'm getting slightly gray.
There isn't much you can do about it, I guess. None of us can escape gray hair. It's a gift of time.
What did you say, Arthur?
I said gray hair's a gift of time. What about that breakfast birthday girl? I don't want to miss the 8:15.
The breadwinner's back from the marts of trade. Anybody home?
Yes, Arthur, we're both here.
Hi, Dad.
Hey,
hi.
Brace yourself for a shock. When you see Mother, you'll faint dead away.
I will? Why?
Hello, darling. Was it a busy day?
Yeah, I thought I'd never... Good Lord, Emily. What in God's name have you done to your hair?
She had it dyed blonde. Isn't it wild?
Well, that's hardly the word for it. Why did you do it?
Well, I decided that my hair was going to change color. I might as well go all the way.
Oh, I love it, don't you?
I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know after I've had a double martini.
Good morning, Emily.
No, not now, please.
You were thinking of me again, weren't you?
I was trying not to, but I can't
see... Of course you can't, especially on your 41st birthday.
Do you intrude on everybody this way?
Every mortal being, but most of them are more philosophical about it and accept my gifts without so much resistance. Which leads me to a painful observation, Emily. You've totally ruined the gift I brought you a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Those dreadful gray hairs, they were disgusting.
But as Arthur pointed out, they made you look distinguished. If you'll forgive me for saying so, your hair has lost a great deal in translation.
Well, I'm going to keep it this way, and that's that.
Oh, I'm sure you are. Pity.
Oh, won't you please leave me now? I'd like to sit at my dressing table in peace.
I'll go the instant you've seen my birthday gift.
What is it this year?
Something more substantial. Look in the magnifying mirror. Go on, pick it up. Look. Can you see them, Emily? Oh. Tiny wrinkles at the corners of your eyes. Rather delicately etched, aren't they?
Oh, they're horrible. Repulsive. Now, please go away and don't come back.
But my return is inevitable. Goodbye for a while, Emily. I won't forget you, my dear. And I'm sure you won't forget me.
I'm simply mad for these two dresses, Mother. Which one do you like?
I'm not sure. Hold them up and let me compare them.
Golly, I'd like to have both of them.
I wish you could, Carol, but remember what your father said. One new dress at tax time is plenty.
Oh.
I think I prefer the pink one. It suits you coloring better.
Okay. I'll go in the fitting room and try it on. You coming with me?
No, I'll stay out here and try to find a dress for myself.
All right. I won't be long.
Hello, Emily. How are you?
Now go away. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm trying to find a dress.
Oh, that black one you're holding, it's dignified and conservative. Just the thing for a woman of 42. You like it?
I did, before you reminded me of my age.
But it's perfect for you. Hold it up in front of the long mirror.
Very well.
Just right, isn't it?
No. It's too conservative, too somber.
Wait, don't go away from the mirror. I'd like you to see my annual offering.
Where is it? Where do I look?
At your face, of course. Lean forward and look carefully. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, no, I hadn't noticed before.
It's perceptible in your cheeks and a slight sag under your chin.
Oh.
A double offering this time.
But I won't have them. I won't accept...
Oh, I think you will, Emily, and I suggest you accept the black dress as well.
I hate the black dress. It's hideous.
You were right, Mother. I adore this pink one, and I'm going to take it. Mother, turn around and look at me.
What, dear?
I said I love this one, and I'm going to take it, okay?
No. It isn't okay. Find something else.
Well, I think it's great. Why shouldn't I take it?
Because I'd like it more myself.
For yourself? Oh, Mother, that's silly. This dress is for a 19-year-old.
Don't be rude, Carol. I'm not fond of your constant reminders that I'm getting old.
But that isn't what I meant at all. You're not ancient, Mother. But you're not 19, for heaven's sake.
Carol, don't argue. Just go back and take that dress off.
All right. All right.
She's right, Emily. You're not 19 any longer.
Please, not now.
You're becoming pleasantly mature, so why not relax and enjoy it?
Be quiet, I
but
said.
But you are maturing. The proof is in this mirror.
Stop it, or I'll...
Emily, put down that chair. Don't do it.
Thank you. Better hurry, Emily. We've got to get to the church.
I know that, dear. I'll be ready in a moment.
Well, first thing you know, we'll miss our own daughter's wedding.
What are you doing to yourself, anyway?
Making up my face, of course.
Would you have to pile on so much goo?
Well, you want me to look presentable, don't you, Arthur?
Well, sure, but you look great to me without all that stuff.
Well, I don't agree with you. I'm not the bride's grandmother. I'm her mother.
That's right. And at 44, more attractive than ever.
Oh, you're sweet. I'd like to believe that. But with these great bags under my eyes, I look 50.
Now, Emily, that's nonsense. And it's getting late, so please quit what you're doing and come along.
I'll be right with you. I'm certainly not going to Carol's wedding looking like a hag.
Hello, Mother.
Hello, dear.
Hi, Dad.
Darling.
Have you ever seen so many flowers in your whole life?
Oh, they're lovely. The floor nurse told me she could hardly find enough vases to put them in. How do you feel, dear?
Oh, 7.5 pounds lighter. And wonderful.
Well, Carol, how does it feel to have a real live doll to play with?
Well, I'm trying to get used to it. Have you seen him?
I've studied him very carefully, and I think he's the spitting image of his grandma.
His what?
His grandma. That's you, dear, in case you didn't realize it.
Oh, dear, I'm not sure I like that designation.
Why not, Mother?
Well, it conjures up visions of a lace cap and a rocker by the window. And I'm determined never to reach that stage. So now I'm laying down the law for Peter when he's able to talk. He may call me Emily, or even Hey You if he feels like it, but never Grandma. Is that clear, Carol?
Yes, Hey You. I'll brief him when he's brought in for his 2 o'clock feeding.
Greetings, Emily.
Oh, dear. It's you again.
Yes, I've returned after a long absence.
But how did you find your way back into my mind? I banished you 8 years ago when I smashed that mirror in the shop.
It's true you haven't admitted my existence for a long time, but it's obvious that I've been present in your subconscious.
Obvious? How?
By your actions at your dressing table. You've spent countless hours here attempting to defeat me.
And I will defeat you. You'll see.
But, my poor dear, you're defeating yourself. Your struggle for youth is ruining your happiness. And Arthur's as well, and it's a losing battle.
I am not going to wither away, do you hear?
But you're 50 today, Emily. That's half a century.
Is this the face of a woman of 50? Look at it.
Oh, you're quite ingenious with those jars and pots. But have you glanced at your hands?
My hands?
Yes. Those veins are quite prominent, aren't they?
They look like the hands of an old woman.
No, not really. You're just oversensitive. Think of Arthur, my dear, and try to be happy for his sake, if not your own. And I warned you, it's a losing battle. Happy birthday, dear Emily. Happy birthday to you.
All right. I can't say I haven't been expecting you after 5 years. But this time, just tell me what you brought. I'm not going to look.
Splendid. You're improving.
But I'll never stop fighting.
Oh, why don't you, Emily? Why not try to enjoy life with Arthur and Carol and Carol's boy? Peter's 9 years old now. You could have fun together. So stop fighting, Emily. Start living. You'll find it lots more fun.
Do you really think so?
Oh, I do.
Then I'll try. I honestly will try.
Hi, Emily. I brought you a birthday present.
Oh, Peter, how thoughtful of you. This is the second present I've had today.
Oh, you got one from Mom and Dad?
No, from a visitor. But I'm sure I'm going to like yours better. It feels like a book. Is it a book?
Yes, one of my favorites. I read it last year when I was 16. I hope you'll enjoy it, too. Here, let me open it for you. There. You like it?
Well, I'm sure I will, but what's the title, Peter?
David Copperfield, Can't you read this print?
Well, not quite. Oh, I could if I squinted. But no lady wants to deepen her crow's feet, does she?
I guess not.
That's the other present I told you about, crow's feet.
Huh, some present. Hey, maybe you need stronger glasses for reading.
That's possible.
Can you see far away through those old specs?
Oh, not more than about a dozen feet.
Well, then you'd better get distance glasses, too. Maybe those combination ones.
Bifocals. Mm-hmm. Oh, gracious, I don't need bifocals yet.
Well, you'd better get them by next Saturday or you won't be able to see me on the platform.
Platform? What do you mean?
My graduation, don't you remember?
Oh. Oh, dear me, yes.
You'd better be there with those new cheaters, because I'm valedictorian. Okay, Emily?
Okay. I'll get those new cheaters. And now, Peter, will you do something for me?
Sure. What?
It's something I'd like very much. Please call me Grandma. Hello. Are you in this room with me? If you are, please speak a little louder. My hearing isn't too good these days, you know.
That little knob, Emily. Turn it up. That's right. You hear me now?
Oh, yes, clearly. I was afraid you'd forgotten me.
On your 75th birthday, how could I?
Strange, isn't it? These days I don't mind your visits. I used to hate them.
Yes, it took me a good many years to find a welcome here.
You are welcome now. I've been terribly lonely since Arthur went away. Oh, I do hope I made Arthur happy.
You did, Emily. He loved every moment of his life with you.
Oh, that's good. Good. Who's there? Who just came into the room?
It's Carol, Mother. I thought I heard you talking.
You did. I'm entertaining an old enemy of mine. A friendly old enemy.
Oh?
Yes, we've been visiting together for a good many years now. And the scamp has always brought me birthday gifts I didn't want. It's hard to explain. You wouldn't understand.
But I do, Mother. Your old enemy has been bringing gifts to me ever since I was 40.
Carol, is that true?
Of course. But he never frightens me the way he used to frighten you. Oh, dearest, if only you had accepted his gifts cheerfully, how much happier you would have been.
Oh, yes, I know that now.
I'm going to get your medicine, Mother. I'll be right back.
Is my friendly enemy still here? You haven't left me, have you?
No, indeed. I wouldn't go away without leaving you a gift.
Good. At 75, I expect something extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. And after you receive it, I'll never bother you again.
Oh, don't say that. Please don't stop coming. You must come back.
That would be impossible. My last gift to you, Emily, is the most desirable one of all. That is the gift you've been praying for, isn't it?
Yes, I confess it is. And I'll accept it. Gladly. Thank you, dear friend. Thank you.
Mother, I've brought your medicine. Mother, are you asleep?
Yes, Carol, your mother is asleep.
I see.
It was my final gift, and she was thankful.
I'm thankful, too. That you brought it so gently. Dear, dear mother. You look so serene. And so lovely. And so young.
Theater 5 has presented Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, written by Albert Miller, directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Martha Scott, Court Benson, Joan Loring, Paul McGrath, and Peter Fernandez. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. Has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Well, folks, that was Theater 5, and Mirror, Mirror on the Wall aired April the 7th, 1965. Now we're going to hear some more science fiction from a show called Future Past, aired on the Radio Theater Project podcast. Here is a short story entitled The Helpful Robots by Robert Shea.
Helpful Robots, a Future Past story written in 1957 by Robert J. Shea. Shea has an interesting contribution to robot stories by taking a sideways look at the ideas of the laws of robotics. Later, he would become famous for co-writing the Illuminatus trilogy. Here is Helpful Robots, adapted for radio by Joseph McGuire.
Our people will be arriving to visit us today.
Shut up.
Our people...
I don't care about your fool people. That damn new neighbor of mine is coming over here again.
But, sir, that cloud of dust is our people coming to inspect.
Get all your people together and go hide in the woods, fast, before that neighbor of mine gets here.
It is not right. We were made to serve all.
Well, there's only 100 of you, and I'm not sharing you with anybody.
It is not right.
You know, don't talk to me about what's right. You're built to follow orders and nothing else. And until that neighbor of mine sees you to give you orders, you work for me. Now get into those woods and hide until he goes away.
We will go to greet those who visit us today.
All right. All right. As long as you scram. What a bunch of talkative robots. Here comes that mooching neighbor. He doesn't know about them robots, so I have to hide them every time he comes mooching over here. Hi, Barrows.
Hello. See, your crop's coming along pretty well. Can't figure how you do it. You've got acres and acres to tend, as far as I can see. I'm having a hell of a time with one little piece of ground. I swear you must know something about this planet I don't know.
Just scientific farming. Look, you come over here for something or just to gab? I got a lot of work to do.
Them brown beetles is at my crop again. Thought you might know some way of getting rid of them.
Sure. Pick them off one by one. That's how I get rid of them.
What? Man, you can't walk all over these miles and miles of farm and pick off every one of them beetles. You must know another way.
I'm telling you all I feel like telling you. You got kids? Use them. You gonna stand there on jaw all day? It seems to me like you got work to do.
Rankin, I know you were a crook back in the Turian Empire. I saw your wanted posters before I moved out here.
So, there's no extradition out to here.
Well, it seems to me that even a crook, any man, would be willing to help his only neighbor on a lone planet like this. You might need help yourself one day.
You keep thinking about my past. Remember, I keep a gun. And you've got a wife and a whole bunch of kids on that farm of yours. Now, why don't you just be real smart and let me alone?
I'm going.
Stop right there! Stop! Damn robot! A great robot. Who are you?
We have come to pass judgment on you. You have violated our law.
What do you mean? You can't arrest me for robbing a bank in the Terran Empire. No extradition. And the only law robots have is to obey orders.
It is true that the robots of your Terran Empire and these simple workers here must obey your orders. But they are subject to a higher law, and you have forced them to break it. That is your crime.
When I got here, there was 100 robots waiting at the port. So I told them to come with me to my plantation. Now, what crime did I commit? Thievery?
No, they were there for use to anyone who needed them.
Well, then how come my neighbor didn't get some robots?
We were sending some more to help, but they haven't arrived yet.
So tell me, you stinking robot, what crime did I commit then?
We of the Clear Chan Confederacy are a race of robots. Our makers implanted one law in us and then passed on. We have carried our law to all the planets we have colonized. In obeying your orders, these workers were simply following that one law. You must be taken to our capital and there be imprisoned and punished for your crime.
What law? Do not harm humans?
What kind of law is that for self-aware robots? No.
You have to obey. You have to protect yourself.
Of course, but that is not a law, just common sense. So no.
Then what law? What crime?
Our law is help thy neighbor. Take him away.
Well, no! No! Well, let go of me! I didn't know! You can't do this to me! I'm a terrorist citizen!
This has been Future Past, radio adaptations from the golden age of science fiction, presenting Helpful Robots by Robert J. Shea. In the cast were Michael O'Reilly as Rod Rankin, Anthony Michael Fay Bruno as Barrows, Christine Yautsey as the Gray Robot, Dana Straub as the Robot Worker. I'm your announcer, Janice Gage. Edited by Jay Charles. Theme music for Future Past by Jason Shaw at audionautics.com. Assistant producer, Amanda Allo. Produced by Joseph C. McGuire. Recorded at KSVR Studios. This is a Radio Theater Project presentation.
Well, folks, that was The Helpful Robots, written by Robert Shea and produced on a show called Future Past on the Radio Theater Project. Now it's time for our last story, this time read on the LibriVox.org website. Here is Prelude to Space by Robert W. Hasselton.
Prelude to Space by Robert W. Hasseltine. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to learn how to volunteer, please contact LibriVox.org. Prelude to Space by Robert W. Hasseltine. You're certain to be included in a survey at one time or another. However, there's one you may not recognize as such. Chances are, it will be more important than you imagine. It could be man's prelude to space. I was climbing the steep side of a central Wisconsin hill, holding my bow away from my body for balance, when I first saw the stranger. He sat on a stump at the crest and watched me struggle up. As I drew nearer, I panted out a greeting and received his cheerful, "Hi," in return. When I finally reached the top, I threw myself on the ground and began catching my breath. He didn't say anything at first, just looked at the bow and quiver of arrows on my back. Finally, he said, "May I look at it?" and reached for the bow. I handed it to him. He examined it carefully and returned it. Beautiful workmanship. Is that all you use? He asked. I never cared much for guns, I answered. I've always thought a bow gave the animal more of an even chance for his life. We talked then on the various aspects of hunting and how the crisp fall air seemed to make the deer seem closer than during the heat of summer. While we talked, I tried to place the reason he disturbed me, but I couldn't seem to do it. He was dressed in an old plaid shirt and dungarees, and his blonde hair wasn't many shades removed from my own straw thatch. But there was something odd about him that I couldn't quite find. Perhaps it's the cloth. His words surprised me. You see, it hasn't been discovered on this planet as yet. My face must have shown astonishment because he went on in the same vein. I admit it's confusing, but it's also true. My clothes weren't made on Earth. He chuckled then deep in his throat. I don't blame you for being confused. I know how I would feel if I met an extraterrestrial being before space travel was a reality. I kept staring at him. Finally, I blurted out, "What in Sam Hill are you talking about?" He leaned forward on the stump, and his face grew earnest. "You might say I'm a poll taker. I have to decide certain things from various interviews with individuals I meet." "What are you trying to prove?" I asked. "I'm sorry, but I can't tell you that until I'm finished with the interview. If I told you, your interest in this subject would tend to prejudice your answers." "Fair enough. What do you want to ask me?" He pulled out a notebook and smiled. "These questions may seem a little silly, but I must have straight answers to them. Will you go along with me?" I nodded my head. "Let's see now. If you were head of a government and wanted to ascertain whether another country was ready for admission into the United Nations, what would you do?" I shrugged. "I suppose I would read books and magazines from the country and possibly have an interview with the heads of the government. After I had collected my data, I could then act upon it." "For the sake of argument, suppose the books and other periodicals were written so as to be prejudicial in favor of the government, and the heads also were coloring what they said." I thought for a minute. "In that case, I suppose I would secretly place someone inside the country to interview people and get a first-hand view of the situation. And then I would act on his data." He nodded his head. "Yes, the people themselves and the conditions they live in will give you the needed data." He turned a page in the book. "Now, suppose that you wish to know if a certain planet was ready to enter into an organization such as the Galactic Federation. What would you do?" "I suppose I'd act as I did before, place people inside the various areas of the planet to interview and observe. They would bring back the information needed to ascertain whether they would be an asset or a detriment to the organization." I thought to myself that the question was a trifle silly. After all, hadn't science proved that life couldn't exist on the other planets in our system? He relaxed after I answered, and his smile was brighter than the previous one. "Right," he said. "Naturally, we had to learn the language first, but now a first-hand check can be made. You see, there is a civilization out there." He raised his hand and swept the sky. "And we have to check to see if this planet is ready to take its place as an adult civilization with the rest of us. Earth, within a very short time, will be reaching her fingers into space. Once she gets there, she'll be eligible to join the Galactic Federation. Well, that's all right, I said. Then we can exchange culture and knowledge with other civilizations. Yes, if you're eligible to join. But you said that once we reach space, we will be eligible. Look at it this way, he said. The main purpose of the Galactic Federation is to promote peace and understanding among the various planets. Earth would have to be prepared to take its place as just another member, and not an important member at that. Earth, you see, is one of the smaller planets, and also would be the latest one to join. In times past, some planets have reached space without being fully prepared for what they would find. They still had internal troubles on their own worlds. We had to place them in quarantine until they reached that degree of civilization where they were ready to live in peace. Now, we check a planet before it reaches the space travel stage. We find out the reactions of the inhabitants to certain situations. What sort of situations? I asked. Well, naturally, we want to see their artifacts as an indication as to their advancement. We have to know what the average man thinks of space travel and trade with other planets, and their ideas on peace and their feelings towards their fellow men. All are very important. Actually, when a planet once enters the Federation, the people are the ones who decide on peace and war. So, if the majority of the people on a planet are peace-loving, that planet is ready to enter the Federation. But how do you find out all these things? I asked. When a man finds out what you're trying to prove, he may lie because he wants to get into space. His eyes held a mischievous glint as he answered. Simple. The art of telepathy has been highly developed among my race. I have your thoughts on everything I've mentioned. Later, when all the data from thousands of similar interviews is in, it will be evaluated and the decision made as to whether your world will be allowed to reach space. We have the means of keeping you from it if we decide you aren't ready. He stood up, and I followed suit. I must be going now, he sighed. This work keeps me on the run, and I have many more interviews to make. Believe me, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I hope we meet again later. We shook hands, and he strolled over the hill into the valley. Perhaps I should have followed him, but it wouldn't have done any good, really, because a few moments later, I saw something shimmering over the top of the hill. It was big and disc-shaped, and shot into the sky with a speed that was unbelievable. I still don't know what to think about him or what we talked about. I'm going to keep watching the papers, though, and hoping he got the right answers. If we reach the moon, I'll know he did. End of Prelude to Space by Robert W. Hasseltine.
Well, folks, that was Prelude to Space by Robert W. Hasseltine. This story was produced on LibriVox.org, and that's what I love the most. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this 1 hour of excitement. And I hope you all enjoyed the shows. Now, I will pass the mic on to Louise.
Okay, Mad Max. Thanks a lot, and great work as usual. You set them up, now I will knock them right back down. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's about going to do it for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, we will be back again next week. You know where, you know when, and you know how to find us. As usual, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them via email to mikeamelli@earthlink.net. That's M-I-K-E-A-M-E-L-I @ E-A-R-T-H LINK.NET. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. Just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, great weekend, and goodbye.